Well, this morning, we're going to go back on our teaching. I had titled this just, you know, following the law of faith, because faith is a law. There's laws and rules of how things operate. And you have to know how they operate. And sometimes laws, whether they're however they are on things, operate somewhat differently under different circumstances. You know, you can turn around and it's just take natural laws under certain circumstances that laws react differently because of certain other things that are introduced into it. And you need to know as concerning our life of faith and following faith is the same way. We sort of like to put it all out there. It's just this bang. You just do this. There's more to it. You know, the Bible talks about faith walking in faith worketh by love. Well, you know, you can stand in the law of faith, but you aren't walking in love. Don't be surprised. It don't work for you. You know, you don't be surprised. See, we need to get in our mind about things, finding out what all is required. Now, one of the things I'm going to say this morning in opening up into this, because last week I was dealing with things about, you know, and I realized some of these things get really touchy to people because, you know, when you start dealing with people about their faith, people get upset about those things. They don't like to be told that, you know, when I'm doing, I'm believing God. Well, if it ain't working, you know, you can do all the song and dance you want. There's one thing as I learned over time is what works and what don't. If I'm not having success at something, then I need to know there's something I don't know. Don't mean I'm a bad person, but there's something I don't know. So I need to know more. One of the things I learned is first is ask God about it. I ask the Holy Spirit to teach me. I say, Holy Spirit, I'll be looking at scriptures. I say, there's things I just don't get it here. You know, they teach it a certain way, but somehow something ain't adding up. Show me. I need to see it. Somehow, you know, they might be right the way they're teaching it, but the light ain't shining on me on that. I don't see it. I need to know it. So, I need to know about that. And I need light on me on things. And, you know, if you're going along in life and that, you know, you have things and stuff and it's not working out the way you want, well, you need to find out what you got to do to make it work. You know? And, this morning, you know, I'm just going to talk. I'm going to talk about here an opening. I wasn't going to go this direction, but see, the Holy Spirit, and it's the way He operates through me. Years ago, when He told me, He said I was a line upon line teacher, and He said, "I want you to start teaching by inspiration." And I like to teach line upon line. I got notes, man. I got notes. Gee, I got notes. Then you ought to see all the notes I got. I mean, I could teach now and through the millennium on notes that I got. But He said to me, He said, "I want you to teach by inspiration." In other words, you study, I study. Hey, you don't study less because you teach by inspiration. You study the Word because the Holy Spirit leads you in line with things of the Word. If I wouldn't know certain things of the Word, He could talk to me about to teach. I wouldn't know if I hadn't been studying the Word. I wouldn't know it. I wouldn't know what He's talking about. So, and also this, you need to understand, you're limited by your knowledge in the Word. You're limited. He can only move in you as far as what you know. He'll have to teach you something else to take you to another spot. So I study the Word, but He wanted to emphasize because what He wants to do, He wants to change our thinking about stuff. Now, we're going to talk about Abraham, specifically. Abraham, his walk with God, he went into the land like God told him, and all the things he did of faith concerning the birth of his son and all the things God led him through is a 25-year period till his son came along. It's 25 years had passed in that. He didn't go into the land. God didn't promise him that child and the next day it happened. You know, it's always amazed with God. God went and waited till it looked like it wasn't going to work. Have you ever been there? If you can't go there, you'll never know much about faith. This is one thing as I learned in the areas, especially over the years, like say in the areas of finances. Whenever I believe God for money for a certain thing to happen, and especially back years ago and that stuff, I believe God because, man, Wanda and I were just learning this thing and we needed money. Because we didn't, you know, we came into the kingdom, we didn't have a big bank account. We didn't have one. So we came along and finding this thing out, believing God for money. And I found this out when I'd believe, usually the money wouldn't come in till right it when you needed it. It didn't come in. It never showed up 2 months ahead. It didn't do that. Well, I realized from the standpoint, God didn't do that to make my life uncomfortable. He's teaching me, He was teaching me faith and patience. He was teaching me that if I believed Him for something, He was going to do it. You don't have to worry about what else is going on and what's happening. And so we began to see that. I can have, you know, and once I learned that's how it worked, I didn't bother about it again. You know, I didn't bother about it. Just finances. You know, when I was at Rhema, I was in, you know, one thing, Wanda and I had no financial struggles at Rhema. And the reason we didn't, it kind of big bank account, we gave all of our money away before we left. We didn't have a big bank account. We went to Rhema. We knew how to believe God. We know how to believe God and get money. And we went with a lot of the Rhema students. They didn't know how to do that. They went to Rhema to try to learn that. We learned that before we go. We read all of Brother Hagin's stuff and studied it. Most of them, they came out of Rhema churches and didn't know a thing about Brother Hagin, and they didn't know very little about his teaching either. I was so shocked when I went to Rhema to find out how many students didn't really. They had some you know, glossed over teaching, but really any depth of teaching, they didn't have none. And, you know, some of them, man, they really struggled, you know, with getting through school. These weren't back in the days, you know. Now, I mean, at Rhema, you can get, you know, because they made it a college, you can get government loans. We went to Rhema when you had to believe God. Boy, that's a different story. Oh, yeah, and it is. You had to learn to walk on a higher level of faith. You had to learn. You just couldn't go borrow the money. You know, you could if you had anything, but they didn't have anything to borrow the money, and mommy and daddy didn't give it to you. And my mommy and daddy wasn't giving us any money. We went believing God. We never asked anybody for nothing. Thank God the church we came out of it went and helped us, started giving us money. We never asked for nothing. I never asked for a thing. Never did. Because I wouldn't. Men didn't send me. God did. He can't take care of me. He needs to forget it. You know, don't talk about a good God. You can't get nothing good out of it. So, you know. He calls me to do something. It isn't me to go around and try to find out everybody else to get this thing so it can get done for me. It's not this. If God can't move among people, and I found out He could. Well, when we were going, the Lord told me to go down to Peru on a missions trip, which turned out to be a really, I mean, an absolutely supernatural trip. It's phenomenal. But going there, when we went in, the Lord told me to go. So I went to the meeting that they had about what was going to they were going to do, the times that they were going, the money that was needed and all that stuff. And so they went, turned around, said the amount of money that was needed to go. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I just wanted to know this. I said, you told me to go. You're going to have to bring the money in. I said, I'm not going through some song and dance or something to try to get money. And I said, I ain't taking the family's money. See, I got good enough sense. You know, if God can't finance what He says, if I have to finance it, you know, do you finance the business that you work for? Oh, man. Ministers do that all the time, trying to find out, you know, they're trying to finance what God's told them to do instead of leaving God and let God work in people to finance. Well, so anyhow, they said how much money was going to be in. And I said, well, Lord, you told me to go. You're going to bring this money in. So, and they said how much money we had. And like, it was so many weeks you had, and you had to have this amount of money in. And there were so many weeks before you left, you had to have the rest of the money. So I said, okay, that's fine. So anyhow, they went to, so I told the Lord, I mean, I was sitting there in a meeting and I was talking to God. See, they're talking about going on this trip. And I thought, well, if you're going to go on this trip, you better make God's in this thing before you go or not. It's just you going on a trip. You know, this ain't a vacation. We're going to minister. I want God to use me. And so anyhow, I said to the Lord about it. So they had these papers. They, here, you can get, we have these pre-printed letters that you can send to people to tell them what you're doing to send you money. And the Lord said to me, don't you take any of those. You need to understand that people need to listen to God, because there's levels of faith you will never attain to if you keep doing things like they generally tell you to do in the church. You can't get there. You can't get there. See, we have the thing today, you know, it's just like I had a guy, you know, our church was helping a guy that was in prison one time. And we started helping him out. Well, the next thing you know, he's writing all the time of all this stuff. You know, oh, he has to have this, he has to have. And I finally got back with him, but I said, listen here. I said, all you ever do is beg. He said, well, the Bible says you're supposed to make your request known. I said, let's quote the rest of the verse. It says to God. I said, you're a beggar. I said, you talk about God, but I said, God had got a thing to do with it. You're a beggar. I said, you didn't have none of this stuff before we started to help you. Now you found out. I said, you know, I ain't your sugar daddy. Let's get this straight. So you want to talk about Christian? Let's play Christian. First of all, let's get grateful that somebody's helping you. You're an ungrateful person. Say, well, don't tell that. You'll hurt his feelings. You know. You see, he's in prison because of what he does, and he's using the same principles that he used in the church that he used in the world that got him into prison. You got to change that stuff. You got to change. I worked in a prison, I know. But anyhow, so the Lord said, don't you take any of those letters and send them out. I said, okay, I don't take no letters and send them out. Now that didn't bother me at all because I didn't tell people about if I needed something. I never told people about it anyhow. I didn't. I learned over time. It's not running around trying to get everybody else to do something for me. I believe God. God can get a hold of people. Mm-hmm. Well, what threw the thing was really interesting because the money came in through people who you would have never thought would showed up. In fact, the money that came for the down payment on the thing came through a guy who called me and asked me, he said, I heard when you go to Rhema, sometimes you can go on mission trips. Now this guy, I didn't know that he knew many people that went to Rhema or not. He's a Christian man, good Christian man, but he said, how do they go on mission trips? Are you going anything and do you need help? See, God got a hold of this guy. God got a, this guy specifically about going on a mission trip. See, God can reach people. You know why sometimes God don't reach people for you? Because you talk too much about what you need. And your problems and you. People don't know if they're hearing from God or hearing from you. Amen. See, sometimes you don't do things because you don't want anybody. There's times, you know, do you ever notice when I minister to people, I usually don't ask so much about their problems? You know why? Because you tell me a bunch of stuff. Now I know all these things and the Holy Ghost is trying to talk to me. I'm sort of, well, now I don't know if that's the Holy Ghost or not. That's just me. I've heard them say this. But what if the Holy Ghost can have me say something to you outside of what I've heard? Amen. Now that bears witness to you. Hey, God's a talking to me. Amen. See, people want to convey get everything out. That's not, allow God to work. So anyhow, God worked. I thought this is really good. Cause see, now this is wonderful. Cause see, now this builds my faith because why? This is the only time in my life I'm going to believe for money. You know, you go on in life. See, you have to know God can talk to people. Most people don't know that. Most people complain that God can't get, I've had sinners do stuff for me, believing for, and sinners do it for me. God gets a hold of sinners because he can't get a hold of saints. Anyhow, so the second one comes along. Here's a guy, and this guy, he's has some problems and that stuff, thing going, but he calls me and says, I got a sense that you're doing something that you need money. Get hold of people. And I said, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, I'm doing something. I told him about the mission trip. Well, he said, how much money do you need? I told him. He said, yeah, I have the check. Now, all of these waited right down to the time. They were within the week of it was supposed to take place. You know, it wasn't far out ahead. And you know what? Worry about it. I didn't worry at all. You know what I said? Money don't come. I don't have to go. That simple. I wasn't sending me anyhow. I'm not sending me. God is. But see, number one, now what God wanted, God wanted me to have a testimony of his goodness. Amen. Not a testimony of what I begged somebody for. This is a testimony, God went beyond me. Mm-hmm. You need testimonies of God beyond you. Amen. God beyond you. You want to have them. You want to have those places where you stop and say, God did that. Ain't nobody getting credit for that but him. He gets the credit. He did the work. Hallelujah. And number one, God uses people, so you want to listen. You do. Amen. See, with Wanda and I, we learned about giving. If God moved on us to give somebody something, we gave it away. Don't be surprised. God moves on you and you don't do it. When you need help, it don't come. Amen. Right. You're going to reap what you sow. Amen. So you want to be sensitive in these areas. Somebody needs money, is doing something, is given. They need something. I'll tell you what, because why? I'll guarantee you're going to come to your place in your life. You're going to need something. You don't always need money. It might be something else you need or something else. Hallelujah. You want to have yourself in a place where you're the one, you're a sower. Hallelujah. And you got the stuff out there. You've obeyed God. Now I want to talk about this because Abraham went into a land. The Lord began to talk to me yesterday about this. So, but anyhow, Abraham went in the land. God worded him. That son came. Then God said to him, I want you to sacrifice that son to me. Now I want you to say, I'm going to ask this question right out. How many of you think that you could do what Abraham did? How many think you could? You think you could do it? Now I want you to get a hold of this. We have all this stuff to teach, and we say on one side, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But no, that's too much. See, our limit, now this is not criticism. What I'm trying to show you, this is the way it's been taught. I've heard more ministers get up and talk about that. I don't know, boy, this is a thing, it's way outside the rest of humanity. That you could do such a thing. What Abraham did, he did by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What you're saying is, I could never get there because I couldn't believe God to do that. Now, I want you, no criticism. What I say, if you don't come past that, you will set limits on your life of what you can believe. We have made these people in the Bible gods. They are our gods. They did things we couldn't do. I couldn't kill the giant. David didn't go against giants or lions and bears till he got anointed to be king. God put an anointing on. Before that, he was just a king. So, like what Saul said, it tells us Saul, when the anointing came on Saul became a different man. You think David didn't? You think David was a great guy before? He was just a powerful guy before the anointing came? Well, most of Christianity does. We got these special people we worship. They have these special categories. You can't go there in faith. You can't do it. God spent 25 years, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why you can't see in that direction. I'm going to show you. The Holy Ghost wants you to understand why you can't see yourself into certain things. Because we're going to find this out today. God don't teach everything to detail all the time. You need to figure some things out. You ought to be able to figure a few things out for yourself. Jesus said he taught the multitude, and the disciples came and said, you just did this thing on teaching about this. Sowing and reaping. So what do you mean that parable you told us? What's that thing about? He said, that's for you to understand, but those on the outside, he said, I speak in parables so they don't understand. That's right. See, this is one thing I know. Over the years, I've studied concerning Abraham and his faith a lot. I've studied a lot of things. You can't call a guy the father of faith and then you somehow don't have to know much about how he worked. If he's the father of faith, it'd be good to go spend some time under. And there's one thing as I learned about Abraham. God took him in steps of faith. Just like you're going to have to in life. You don't skip steps. You try to skip. This is what people do. They run a faith up to this point, and they just sort of let it stay there for years and years on end. And all of a sudden, something big comes, and they try to take the giant step. You ain't going there. It ain't happening. You're not going there. Why? It takes in steps. God led Abraham, and you follow through how God moved in him and worked in him and led him to steps to the place that he came to a conclusion. Now, I want to read this because we want to go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. This revelation is not in the Old Testament. We need to understand the New Testament gives light. The Old Testament's type and shadow, but we get a good picture in the book of Hebrews about this incident, how it works. We get a good picture here. Now, it says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, there's a number of things it says, but it makes this, in verse 17, tells this about Abraham. It says about, believing for Isaac and all that. But here's what it says. By faith, when Abraham was tested, he offered Isaac. What did he do? He did it by faith. We need to be careful. When we look at people and see what they did, and it seems so supernatural, he had to do it faith like everybody else. Get a picture of yourself. Don't look at people. We made Apostle Paul God. Well, Apostle Paul didn't know everything. we need to be careful. We make people and we put them, I've done it over the years and that stuff and I quit doing it. They put up, Apostle Paul didn't understand this. What's your chances? Like, he's the end of knowledge. I hear preachers, I'm listening to big name faith preachers do this stuff. And I'm thinking, I'm listening to them and think, man, you ain't operating in faith. You begging for money. You're doing all this. This is faith. What he did by faith. Faith, how does he get it? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, God led him. God had built his faith over time to bring him there. Now, when you sit and look and say, well, I don't know if I could do that. I'll tell you what, if God leads me in that place, I'll guarantee I'd be able to do it. Amen. I guarantee you. My God ain't different from the God of Abraham. He ain't different. I know, he can get me in faith. If it takes 25 years, he can get me in faith. See, get your thinking changed about this stuff. Abraham, he got him to the place where this man can believe in the supernatural. He's not only just, getting a kid and that stuff. This guy stepped into a place of the supernatural that most people today don't even walk in. And he wasn't born again. See, we look at Abraham, we look at these guys, aren't they something? I'm born again. Abraham had a righteousness which was by faith. Mine's by birth. I'm born righteous. That's my nature. It wasn't his nature. He wasn't born again. It was only accounted to him. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm just as righteous as God is. Woo!
Hallelujah.
That's the saint. That's the Christian. The Bible says so. And so we look down at those people and we say, oh my, look at that. How they could come to this place and they could have all this. Yeah. Well, see, it'll limit us in the place of the miraculous. It'll limit us in how far we can go. Now, what he did by faith. Hallelujah. Well, and he said, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Now we're going to read that. I'm going to read you that 19th verse in another translation, but I want to say this. Abraham concluded something. You know, God never told him that he was going to raise his son to the dead. Never told him. Never. He never told him, talked about raising his son to the dead. Well, how could he believe that? He came to a conclusion because of what he knew about faith. What are your conclusions? See, last week I was talking about people who turn on, they come to the conclusion, if I'm feeling bad, well then you just don't go to work. If you're feeling this or feeling that, you don't do this, you don't do that. What is all that stuff about? That's the conclusions you come to. What's your conclusions about the Word? See, God changed my conclusions when I told the story about what happened to me. When I first got saved, I wasn't born again long at all. Woke up in the morning feeling bad. Turned around, I'm going to believe the word, 1 Peter 2:24. The thought goes through my mind. I'll just believe God, but I'm going to call off work sick. And the Lord said, do you believe? Do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? And I said, yeah. Yes, I do. I believe that. And I quoted it. And then he said, well, if you believe it, why don't you get up and act like it? All of a sudden, see, I got a light on the word of God. And I realize just today, most people ain't got it. They want to go there. They want to go to the miraculous, but it's going to take you away. From that time on, I began to understand this about the Word. God don't have to say everything. There's a lot of things I've concluded because I understand certain things about the Word. I can tell you, I can conclude what God will do in a situation. He don't have to tell me. He never told him that. It said he concluded this fact. Well, how did he come to this conclusion? Because of other things God had said. If you don't know what God's saying in the Word, you're not going to come to a good conclusion. Amen. We're so fortunate. He didn't have this written document. We got this written document with all this stuff in it. I mean, my words, we should be way ahead of these people. But no, we want to sit behind, we're just so humble and so, whatever. Why did he come up to this conclusion? He came up to a conclusion because of this. God had told him, God had put this whole thing, God put together, told him he was going to have all this over years. I'm going to give you out of your own body an offspring. I'm going to do this. I'm going to change your name. Your name's Abram. I'm going to call it Abraham. You're going to be the father of multitude. I'm changing Sarah's name. This whole thing. They're changing names. They're walking around. He's calling himself a father of a multitude when he ain't got no kids. Then he turns around and has a kid through a slave woman. And God said, I'm going to give you one through Sarah. This is what I'm going to do. And God told him, he said, out of that child, he said, That's where all the nations of the birth, this is where your heritage is coming out of him. It's coming out of that guy. And you know what? Abraham believed it. Abraham, that son came along and that stuff, and this is the one. This is the heir. He put the slave son out, did the whole thing. This is the one. Now God says to him, I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham didn't weep and cry. Abraham got up the next morning, the Bible says. The next morning, it says it, and went to go do what God said. Well, how could he do that? He knew God was going to have to raise him from the dead because, or God had lied all those years about that kid. God was a liar. See, this is why when I had a heart attack, I knew I wasn't going to say, this thing, I'm going to go for a run. How do I know? I concluded to the fact of what God had said about healing. I concluded the fact. I didn't have to wait to hear from heaven that I could go do that. I concluded that I can do something that he taught me a long time ago when I was feeling bad and said, if you believe First Peter 2:4, get up and act like it. We do that today and people get offended. Don't dare ask them. People concluded the doctor said no and that's it. Yeah, well, we believe the Bible. This stuff works. Amen. It worked back with Abraham. Abraham, look at that. He concluded the fact, God's going to have to raise this boy from the dead. I can go ahead and do it. I'm going to watch a miracle. No, oh my words, this is my son. Oh, God said, oh, and I love this boy. And I... You know what Jesus said? If you love anybody, your mama, your daddy, you love anybody more than me, you're not worthy of me. Abraham had that back then. Woo! See, this stuff steps on your toes. Now understand, God talks to me about this before he talked to you. So let's not get over here in this thing again. You know. See, we need dealt with. The church needs dealt with on things. Now, see, it's one thing. That's why I love Brother Hagin and his teaching. He put a foundation in me that you can build on, that you can go. He said, you can just go further than I do. We can see things. He put a wonderful foundation. People never built nothing on it. Never built a thing on it. Walking around today trying to do what needs to be done and can't do it. They're trying to do something and there ain't no house. Oh, this is a foundation. They ain't built a thing on it. They haven't built. They've concluded to nothing. They haven't concluded what they can build on this thing or how far I can know. All things are possible to him that believeth, but I sure couldn't be able to do what they did. Now think about that. Don't put yourself in that category because what you'll do, you'll limit yourself to what you believe you can do right now. Amen. And that's as far as you can go. No, I can go further than I am now. My faith can go further than this. God can take my faith further than it is now. There wouldn't be any point to even go to church, to read, to study, or anything, the Word, if you're stuck at a point and that's where God wants you. Amen. That'd be stupid. What's the point going on? You already know what you need to know. So just stay there. Wouldn't it be any point? No, it's to go further. When Kenneth Hagin, you know, he said great faith was built through great trials. He said if you didn't have any, you don't have any great trials, he said you don't have great faith. Now, there's a difference, you know, too, is understand that some people go through terrible things in life. They caused it. It ain't about God trying to teach them anything. God instructing them how to use their faith. Don't have that. I've had instances where God specifically used for me to use my faith, to teach me to go to another level. Any major thing that I've ever had has always led me to another level. It's always led me to another level of faith. That's God. If your faith is just a beating trying to get through something, that ain't what it's about. God tests us in things about what he knows we can do. He can't test you in something. We wouldn't take a child teaching general math and give him a test on calculus, would we? You see, that's unfair. God ain't going to give you a test on a level you can't go. God had already given me heart attack faith before I ever had a heart attack. He had already walked me to that. He had already taken me to the place. When that devil came and knocked on the door with that thing, I knew how to respond. See, I don't know how we view faith. We take natural school. We go through years of teaching to bring somebody. In the church world, it's all like, it's just going to happen and it's going to work. It is the most childish, stupid ignoramuses. And they're at the pulpits. They don't realize. No, it takes training. You know, when I started off in getting into things, you know, you don't get where you are starting where you are. You got to work through things. You know, I stumbled around a bunch. I did things. Sometimes I stumble over stuff today. But nonetheless, look, God prepares you. There's a future. Tests were given. When Jesus was baptized and said the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested. It says to be tested of the devil. He was in there. The word tempting is used there, tempted. But nonetheless, was Jesus ready for him? Sure enough. Jesus could have been, he hadn't eaten in 40 days when the devil showed up. Now your flesh is yelling at you. Your flesh don't want to be the devil bugging you. You don't want to have none of that going on. Hallelujah. And the first thing the devil does, why don't you make lunch? Oh yeah. Oh my. Most people, I want to spend time praying, but let's go to lunch. I just... Oh, you might as well laugh at you. Anyhow, so, but you know, the whole thing is these temptation things. In other words, he was ready for the test. Look what he did to test. He didn't send him into a test to fail. He had already studied for the test. He had already been, he's ready for the test. In schools, what do they try to do with tests with students? They try to teach them up to the point of the test. They don't give them a different test. Mm-hmm. That'd be dumb, wouldn't it? Amen. Now see, what happens? I'm just going to tell you. You're going to have things come in your life you have time to prepare for. But I'll tell you, there's things in our future right now that many Christians is going to come and they're not going to be ready for it. Why? Because they've been laying around for years. Mm-hmm. Not building themselves. They can't take care of the little things by faith. And they're going to want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. That ain't going to work. Just telling you, ain't going to work. Amen. Ain't going to work. That ain't the way it is. You know, you don't go to school. You know, don't take a test. You're going to fail it. You don't sit in the class. You don't learn. And I want you to see this. Now, I like here in Weymouth's translation, verse 19 says this. For he reckoned that God is even able to raise a man from the dead raise a man up from among the dead. And figuratively speaking, it was from among the dead that he received Isaac again. He received it. What does faith do? What's Mark 11:24? When you pray, whatever, believe you receive it. He received something. He received his son raised from the dead before he ever took off to leave to go there. If he would not have done it, he wouldn't have went. But God had prepared him for that moment. God had prepared him. He did the whole thing by faith. See, when we stop and say, I can't do that. See, God can't bring me to a place of faith like that. I'm limited. He's big, I'm little. I'm weak, he's strong. He ain't born again and we are, and we're looking at him like he's some kind of champion. I'm more than a conqueror, the Bible said. Oh, we say those scriptures and we use them, but see, we don't draw any conclusion from them. We turn around, get over and say, I can't make it here. Yeah, but you done quoted that other scripture there talking like you're some kind of champion how many times? Why? You never drew your own conclusion. You got to draw conclusions yourself. You got to look at the word and say, well, look, if it says I'm more than a conqueror, then I do this thing. I can overcome here. Hallelujah. I can do this. Anything any of those guys did in the Bible, I can do them. Glory to God. I got a different God. Hallelujah. I'm born. My spirit is designed for the seed of the word of God. Abraham's wasn't. He had a natural human spirit that born. He didn't have that. My God. See, we need to get in our eyes and get ourselves. This is what God wants to lead us to, another level of the things of, don't limit yourself in believing by the things you've said and the things you've done. Draw some conclusions. If you believe the word of God is true, the conclusions that you should draw should be stuff of victory. Not what you can't do, and this isn't going to, well, yeah, we're believing God. God has a purpose and all this kind of stuff and things and all these things. And we don't expect to, really, people don't expect today to get divinely healed. They don't expect it at all. They don't expect divine healing. They don't have expectation of it. Why? Because they've limited themselves to God. I can't let God completely be my doctor. I want a guy I can touch, feel. You know, I want the guy that has, he has the pill case, man. I want that guy. Now, there's nothing wrong. I ain't complaining against doctors. But see, what people do, see, we limit ourselves over in the areas. See, I ain't telling you, if you get cancer, don't go see the doctor. You can't believe God, you better get to somebody. You better go to something. But you're going to have to start at places. See, where I started, like I started off in the place of headaches. That's where I started off. You know, things, the headaches, you know, I do this, you know, headache. I haven't had a headache in so many years, I can't even tell you. I've had occasionally, maybe every 4 or 5 years, one will start to cut. I said, no, we ain't going there. Why start now? You know, they ain't having that. No. See, I didn't start, you know, over here in the area of cancer trying to believe God. This is what people do. They don't pay any attention to their faith. Understand this. You got to pay attention to your faith. You must pay attention to your faith. Amen. Don't assume you can believe something. Test it out. Let's see if it works.
Hallelujah.
Uh-huh. Yep. See, we check things out, whether they work, you know. We're going on vacation. We're going to be driving, take my car. You know what I did? Took my car and had all checked out. Transmission fluid changed. Had all these things looked out. Why? Make sure it's going to work. You know, driving down the road, be a good idea. Tires are balanced and everything like that. And everything, the brakes are all good and everything like that. Nice to know those things. I watch 90% of Christians jump on their faith and have a breakdown. Look, this is not, if we don't deal with this stuff, see, faith is something, you got to check out your faith all the time. Is my faith work? How can I trust God? You have to put yourself in a place. I don't always wait for God to test me. I test my faith out. You're going to have things that come along and test. Number one, I can tell you about it. If problems come and you get real discouraged and you get bent out of shape quick, you got a problem in your faith life. Amen. You can't take nothing great because one of the things that hurts you, you know, getting upset over stuff and things like that, I've learned this over time. Oh, I can get over it and get straightened out, but I've done wasted a bunch of time and my faith ain't been and running where it should be. I'm going to put up with some things I didn't have to put up with. You got to come to the point where you can look at, because I'll tell you what, I had a number of things happen this past week could really make you unhappy. I just downright refuse to be unhappy. I'd rather die and go to heaven than stand around here playing just like I did years ago in the flesh. Getting upset all this time by stuff. I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to live that life. You know what? Because it don't matter. I'm just the thing. More and more, I'm going to tell you what. If God can't, He can't raise me from the dead. He's lousy at what He does. Who'd want to serve Him? If doing things is a big deal, our God's great. See, worship this morning, you know. We read this song about this God's something else. He's something else. But I hope nothing bad happens because we're not telling them what we're going to do. Oh, I hope God don't ask me to do anything big. What are we going to do? See, I want you to think about it. This is why you need to come to some conclusions about things of how you think. We listen to these things. We say, yeah, they're good and true, but I'm going to be honest with you. They're really not what we're in faith in. See, you have to measure. Do I really believe this? If I do, then it's going to change something. This is going to change things. if I really believe it. See, we come to the place where you're going to have to push it. You know, when the Lord told me about 20 years ago, he told me the same thing that he told Kenneth Hagin. In fact, he reminded him. When he told Kenneth Hagin, he said, I allowed you to go through some things in your life. I allowed you to go through them so you could teach faith. The Lord told me about 20 years ago, and he said the same thing to me. He said, remember I told Kenneth Hagin that? He said, I did the same to you so you can teach faith. Because Kenneth Hagin would always say this, I teach by the word and by experience. This is what I find. People have a hard time witnessing to people, and the reason they do is because they don't have any experience. Not in witnessing. They don't have nothing to tell. God did great for them. They ain't got things to tell. They ain't got nothing. They get do everything like everybody else, you know. They don't have nothing. They, you know, the world, you know, they save their money, borrow money to get by this and buy that. I ain't against doing that kind of stuff. But, you know, you got to have some time. God gave you some. God brought something in that you do. You got to have those things. You got to be able to stop and look and say, hey, this here, you know, we were dealing with this and God brought this to us. Here's what he did. You have to have those things because people, you know, people need something as an experience. They don't need another story from the Bible. They don't need another 4,000-year-old story. Amen. Well, hey, I learned the principles of the Bible through those stories so I can experience them. We want to, this stuff is to be experienced, not just stuff that we talk about.
Amen.
And it has many ways come. I want you to look at, in Hebrews, the sixth chapter. I want to read, there's some things, other things I was going to go into here, but this here I want to bring into Hebrews in the sixth chapter. I want you to see this. Hallelujah. Yep. I'll do that. Praise God. All right, Hebrews, the sixth chapter, verse 12 says this, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He said, don't become sluggish. Don't become sluggish. Don't do that. But what are you supposed to do? Imitate those who faith and patience inherit the promise. See, one of the things is criticism in the body of Christ, and I've heard over the years, and I've said this before, people will criticize you for imitating somebody else, whatever they did. They'll do it. Well, the Hebrew writer here, which was Paul, said, we're supposed to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. The stuff that I teach and I tell you about, you're supposed to be imitating. What's the point? They're not just stories, so aren't these nice? Aren't these nice things? See, that's what God told me to do. When I turn around, I could just tell you thing after thing that God, Brother Hagin would tell a story how God did a certain thing. God would lead me right into that situation to do that. It would tell me. Because you get over to see, people say, well, you're just imitating him. You're darn right. He's a guy that got it right. Any teacher in a school, they stand up and teach. Are they trying to teach the kids and say, don't imitate what I do? Oh, no. In the church, this kind of ignorance has gone to seed in the church.
Amen.
Everybody wants to come up with a new thing, a new idea. We learn ourselves a lot of time from experience of others. We learn things. Mm-hmm. This is what we're... See, when I started listening to Brother Hagin and I started listening to his teaching, I thought, man, the stuff... I want to get into that. See, I didn't think it was just neat to watch. Oh, man, I want to go to the church because he tells wonderful stuff and they do all these different things. If I can't have it, I ain't going to the service. I don't care what he does. I can't have it, so what's the point of going?
Amen.
If it ain't going to work through me, if it ain't going to happen through me, I can't have that. It's like I've told you about. I mean, Wanda and I could sit and we could just tell you, we could spend days talking and tell you things that God did. I could get and tell you stories of supernatural manifestations. Where I worked at Reese's, supernatural manifestations. God did things. Working at Reese's. Stuff and things. All the different things that we went through with our family, with other members of the family. God doing supernatural stuff. Just doing supernatural stuff. Just time after time after time. Well, didn't happen because we were special. What I did started copying Brother Hagin. He would say, you got to do this, you got to do that. I started doing it. I just thought that's what you did. I was so stupid, I didn't know. I concluded that he knew more about it than me. See, we need to become different. We need to think in a different way. We need to get thinking different. Well, why does God do it? Why does God do it? How does He do it? I want to know what He does. And especially if I can get a person, I can see the pattern after. To me, that helps. That helps big time. I can see the pattern what a person did. I have seen those things, you know. I remember listening to Brother Hagin about, you know, I remember years ago about him going to praying the power down, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so I thought, well, you know, you can do this stuff. I want to do it. And I did it. Pray the power down. But you got to know what you're doing. But I copied off of somebody else that did it. I didn't invent the wheel. I didn't need to go seek God to find out how that thing worked. He already sent a teacher who had practiced in it, other word, and did it. And it was easier for me than it was for him because he didn't have a pattern. You know, everybody wants to be Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Not me. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. If a guy can show me how to do it without doing it, hey man, I'm taking it. That's the easy way to get it. You know? That's the easy way to do it. Everybody wants to say, I want to do my own thing. I don't. I did my own thing for 30 years. Really worked out great. How's yours turned out? You know? It's like, hallelujah, work. See, person can tell me how they want to get healing. I'm going to tell you, the fruits in the eating the pudding. Did you get healed? Well, no. Well, then don't you ain't not nothing. You can't tell me anything about it. What are you going to tell me about it? Tell me how it don't work? You see, I'm not ashamed. If I miss it, I ain't ashamed to say, hey, we missed it. Hey, let's go on to something. Let's find out what we need to do.
Amen.
Don't get touchy. You know, don't get into those things. Say, hey, man, I need to know something. Hallelujah. I want to live in a place where I have joy and peace in the middle of trouble. When everything's going good and you have joy and you walk around smiling, you know what that means? Nothing.
Amen.
The sinners do that. That is no sign of any spirituality.
Amen.
Praising God when everything going good. But when the truck ran over you, can you still raise your hands?
Amen.
Say, glory to God. Hallelujah. If you can't do that, well then, you done missed it.
Amen.
You ain't got it. See, we need to face these facts about ourselves and things. Hallelujah. See, I want to come to the place. I saw myself, when I first started off, I saw myself the way that I was. And I looked at, I had a model in front of me that God put. It was Brother Hagin. He told me he stayed close to that. And I thought, my God. You know, he offended me sometimes. So I learned how to get over that. Say, hey,
amen.
This guy ain't trying to hurt me. He's trying to get me out of the ditch I'm in. And stupid me is getting upset about it. Because he told me I was a dummy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right. I was a dummy.
Amen.
He was right. I didn't know. I didn't have good sense. But you know, he kept preaching the truth, whether it hurt my toes or whatever it ever did. But you know, I just kept looking. Well, he's got something I want. I want to know how to get there. He's teaching something the other people weren't teaching. And they were talking about how good God was, but nobody's getting God's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
He's good, but you can't get it. Oh, we're praying God's will be done on earth like it is in heaven, but it never comes. Because sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe. Sometimes he just don't care and he stays in bed. You know, it's like, what? Hallelujah. But see, we're supposed to imitate those. Because why? If you don't, you will become sluggish. This is where many people have sluggish faith. They're trying to figure things for themselves. They're trying to figure out this stuff. I mean, you find somebody that's making it work, find out how they do it.
Amen.
You know, I've learned this, you know, a long time. You know, there's things that I would want to fix or do. I mean, to me, it's really like, you know, naturally getting a hold of things. To me, I do like, you go over YouTube and I go and type in something that I want to know about. And you get these videos and watch people do it. And say, oh my God, I didn't have to figure that out myself. I always love running in these people today. You know, I don't like this computer stuff, and I don't like you. And then they struggle through things. I think you could study more wonderful things in the Bible being able to go online. You wouldn't have to try to figure out a ton of stuff yourself. But people, oh, I don't want that stuff, and I don't. You know. Just show their darn ignorance. Well, I can go in there and find out. There's, you know what? There's a million idiots out there. Well, there's a billion idiots out there. But I'm going to tell you, there's good people out there, and they got good stuff you'd get a hold of that you need to know. I looked up, you know, sometimes studying a subject. I look up different ones, subjects. I read, sit and read through things. Some people I agree with and I don't on things, but I'll tell you what, I learn. You ain't going to learn all you need to know just listen to the guys you like. Because the guys you like don't know, and sometimes don't know near as much. I'm going to tell you, seminar ministers, lots of times, there's a lot of things they don't know. Because they're geared more in a certain area. They're geared more into a certain area of teaching that God uses them. And we need to understand that. There's people out there doing things you need to listen to. And no matter if you agree, there's things that I sit down and I look at a guy and most of he said stuff he doesn't say I don't agree with, but he'll have a couple of good revelations in there. And I was like, wow, that was worth looking. That was worth reading through just to hear that. If you can't take it and you're touchy and then, well, I can't. Well, good luck. You ain't going to go nowhere. You know? Because we won't walk around this world. We're only going to listen to what I like to hear. Well, you're going to have trouble. You're going to hear a lot you don't want to hear. And if it troubles you all the time, you got a problem. You got a problem. See, I've learned. I don't expect the sinners to say wonderful, glorious things about Jesus Christ. What on earth would I think that for? Most Christians think they were born again all their life. And I've wondered if many of them say they're born again if they are even now. Because they still can't get over anything. Always upset. You can't, you know, you can't love people and be upset at people all the time.
Amen.
Can't do that. I know people do you wrong. They do things. But you can't live over in that area. You can't. It's today, you need to be careful. We're in a world there's such division going on. And the drawing of sides. There's too much hatred between groups and stuff and things. You're not going to reach people not liking them. Because God ain't going to anoint you to do it, number one. You ain't reaching people without the anointing.
Amen.
It ain't love to try to get them saved because you're sick of them. That ain't how it works. That's right. Many people, why do you want to get people say they, because they're just all the time critical about people and what they're, hold it. I was a sinner 30 years. I knew how to sin. And if anything, body's chain I wanted to pull was a Christian. And I found out Christians were the easiest ones to get upset and everything about what was going on. And I loved it. I'd pull their chain all the time. Christians. One day I ran into a Christian. You couldn't pull his chain. You know what? First guy I listened to. Oh, I had all these people saying that they were Christian. But I'm going to tell you what. I didn't see it. Because you could just pull their chain in a minute. And they'd be upset. They didn't like you and didn't want to talk to you no more. Because see, you're a sinner and I got to stay with my clean group. See, because I can't be tainted, you know. I get soiled being around you. Hallelujah. I know, folks, this is good preaching, ain't it? Just, but it is. We need to get, you know. See, what God wants you to do, God wants to take your place to a faith. He so wants you to have peace and joy. And if we can't have peace and joy in this age and this time, then the gospel ain't worth spit. This stuff has to work when things are bad. It has to. I've decided it has to be able. I have to be able to walk in this now. I don't care. You know, there's more trouble coming. There's not going to be less trouble coming on the horizon. There's more trouble, greater trouble. If I can't put up with this, I ain't going to put up with more. Men's hearts failing them for the fear of the things coming on the earth. I decided a long time ago, I ain't going to that camp. I ain't going to be in that group. I got to get Ed straight. I got to get Ed straight. When trouble comes, that Ed can just smile and say, yeah, it's going to be, God will take care of me. Hallelujah. God's looking after me. I concluded this. I concluded that either the word's true. If it's not, if it's changed, if bad trouble comes and I can't maintain peace and joy, then God isn't as big as he said. His peace and joy is not. That love in my heart ain't near as big as he said it was. Well, see, I've come to the conclusion he's right. And if it don't work for Ed, Ed's wrong. Something's wrong with it. So see, I come to conclusion. The conclusion can become really easy to get to. So now I know that Ed's a problem, so now we've got to fix Ed. We don't have to fix God. People keep trying to fix God. They'll sit there, they're messed up, and they'll just keep praying God to do something. God, you got to do something. God's there. You got to do something. You got to do something. See, as Mike said last week about, you know, we got to give God something to work with. Sometimes we don't. We haven't given him nothing to work with. Haven't given anything to work with. When you step out in that place of faith, you give God a place. When you know what? God wanted me to get out of that bed when I was a young Christian. He wanted me to step out of that bed because now he can do something. When I made that step of faith, and you need to understand, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this about faith. He said, your faith is carried out, he said, through words and actions.
Amen.
Words and actions. Faith is to be acted on, not talked about.
Right.
We've just made it a talk thing. It's to act it upon. The most powerful thing that you can do is act like the Bible's true.
Amen.
See, that's when I know when I was under pressure, I still must act in a measure. I have to be able to act in peace and joy, not retaliate when somebody does something or something. I had learned. I had to do that. I have to give God something to work with. See, oh, God, help me in this situation while I act bad. Oh, yeah! Help me, Lord! Yeah, he's helping you by letting you linger where you're at. No. It's like it's one thing, as I don't know, the major problem. Number one thing in your life's the trouble. It ain't the devil. It's your flesh and your unrenewed mind. That's your number one problem. I know from experience it's mine. I was told that by others that concern it, that that's your number one problem. I just decided they were doing better at me in life, so they must have known a little bit more about it than I did. So I just assumed that I was my major problem. And you know what? I found that was true. So I went with it. The more I could deal with me, the more I could deal with these problems. It doesn't mean, don't mean my flesh don't want it. My flesh wants to rise up. My flesh wants, you know, you spit on me, I want to spit on you. That's the flesh. My inner man won't go along with it.
Amen.
My inner man will be, you don't do that.
Amen.
See, but if you don't learn how to walk by faith in the inside, that outside man, he'll spit.
Amen.
You won't be able to bring him under control. The only thing that'll bring the outer man under control is faith. Or you'll have to take drugs to calm you down. That seems to be the alternative today. I have problems and I'm having problems, so I take drugs so I can be calm. I just say a good wooden mallet on the head would straighten that out. You wouldn't want to do it the next time. Taking drugs to calm down your flesh doesn't change what you are. And it don't make you a better person.
Amen.
Don't do that. You're going to have to deal with the flesh.
Amen.
Me, I found out I had to deal with the flesh. Because the flesh still wants to get ugly. You know, it's like, Paul, you got to slap it down. Sometimes, you know, I just did something, and, you know, something's trying to get to me. I learned this. I just get up and walk away. Flesh, I've given you an opportunity to act like it. We ain't going there with that. No. I can't go there. Well, I have my faith. I don't want things to come to pass in my life. I like to be still walking around and not being on a walker. I like it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I want soundness in my life. But I want to be able to take it to other people too.
Amen.
People calling people that are no better off than they are asking for prayer. Well, who's going to help who? Yeah, we're both in the ditch. Let's see how we get out. See, did you bring a ladder with you? No, we sawed the legs off of that and used it for firewood. That's good preaching anyhow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But my whole thing, though, is I want you to get to take off today is what we started in the beginning concerning Abraham, is to begin to see yourself. You see yourself. These men weren't foreign champions. They were images put in the Word for you and I to see, to achieve to. To take our faith. Not at places that I can't go there. I understand her. Most preachers you ever heard preach it, they preach it. You can't go there. Oh yeah, that was, he's special. Well then he ain't the father of my faith. If he's special, he ain't the father of my faith. If his faith was something greater, then he ain't the father of my faith. I got a lesser faith, I guess, you know. And my faith can't attain. See, don't run around saying these scriptures, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, and then say, can't do that. You know, I might see something I can't attain to right now, but I will.
Amen.
I can, if I can see it, I can learn to develop my faith toward that thing. You're exactly the same way. Never consider yourself. People say, well, I just have a hard time. This, yeah, just keep saying that. You have a hard time. Your faith's working great. You're having a hard time. You said it. Your faith said, yeah, I have a hard time doing it this way, and I have a hard time following. I don't ever say that. The Word's true, and I'll tell you what, I can do it. I can believe the Word. I can believe it. Hallelujah. It ain't hard for me to believe the Word. Why? Because I've been saying for 40 years, I can believe the Word. Hallelujah. And I can. I know the Word's true. I maybe can't always attain right to it, but I'll tell you what, I know this. If I want to, I can. I can attain to it. It's my choice. It's like when the Lord told me, I said, how far can I go with this? He said, it ain't up to me. How far do you want to go? A woman with the issue of blood. She decided her healing. He didn't. God didn't decide it. Jesus didn't say, I healed you. He said, your faith made you whole. Well, if her faith can make me her whole, my faith can make me whole.
Amen.
I'm waiting for God to heal it. Why don't you use your faith and get whole?
Amen.
Woo! Well, she did it. Jerry said, hey man, you come up here and lay hands on my daughter. She'll live, not die. Well, did it work? They decided how it was going to be done. God didn't. All this. Well, if the Lord wills, well, you'll be 10 years down the road saying that thing and nothing ever happened.
Amen.
You decide. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose. What are you binding and loosing? Are you binding yourself up or God can't help you? Are you loosing yourself into the freedom of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To walk by faith and take a hold of it. Hallelujah. Can heaven get behind it? Heaven will get behind whichever one you choose.
Amen.
You choose this day. Mm-hmm. See, we need to break the bonds and yokes off of that thing of, well, it's all God. It's all God. God this. God, hold it. God didn't make you, cause you to be born again and become His child, to be an idiot, to walk around like a dummy, a little puppy that has to follow Him around all the Him, do everything for you all the time. It's not what He did. Hallelujah. Just like we, our children grow up and they learn to take care of things, that's exactly what He wants. You grow up and learn to walk around in His faith and that stuff, and His power will just back you up. Hallelujah. Man, it's, you know, and it is, that's the way it works. You turn around and release it. You're the one that's going to set it in motion. You're going to do those things. He calls you to do something. Hallelujah. He didn't call you because you couldn't do it. He called you because you could.
Hallelujah.
See, the churches had sluggish faith because we've looked at people in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We thought they were special. We limited our faith and became sluggish in faith. We're sluggish. Let's not be sluggish today.
Amen.
Let's break this. You're a child of God. You were born of God. You're the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ain't nobody in the Old Testament going to outdo me.
Amen.
I ain't going to have it. What God calls me to do or what God, I can do it. Well, we can walk in. You know, we have limited places of faith where they used their life. We don't, you know, some of those people were lousy in the rest of their life. They were lousy. Hallelujah. But God didn't choose to pick the lousy to stick it out in your face, to shove it to you. He said, look, see what they did over here? Hallelujah. You can have that. You can have that too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You and I can have it. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. God is good, isn't He? Hallelujah. 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 Heavenly Father, We're coming this morning to take communion. Lord God, Lord, we belong to you. You're our God. I'm just so thankful, hallelujah. Lord God, we're just reminded this morning, hallelujah, who we belong to. Amen. What you've done for us is so phenomenal and so incredible. And Lord God, you didn't do this thing so we could just be nobodies, because you're the God who made us somebodies. Hallelujah. Lord God, when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus, he said, somebody touch me. Hallelujah. Lord God, she had been a nobody in her life. She had to be hidden away from all other people and things because of her sickness. But Lord God, you made her into somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're still taking nobodies and turning them into somebodies. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're not going to worship other men and what they have done. Lord, if men done anything great for you, it's because you were working in it. Hallelujah. And we just want to thank you, Lord God, that you're the one that uses us. You're the one that anoints us. You're the one that gives us wisdom. We would have no faith in you had you not turned around and give us revelation. Revelation in your word, we wouldn't have no faith. Lord God, it comes from you. What wonderful. Lord God, you're always gifting us. You're always gracing us. You're always doing. I just want to say thank you today. Lord, as we take this communion, we're just reminded Jesus is Lord and we're not. We're reminded, Lord God, you are good and your mercy endures forever. If anybody wants us well, it's you want us well. If anybody wants us to get over in life, it's you. Hallelujah. Anybody wants us to have the victory, it's you, Lord God. Hallelujah. That Lord God, we can accomplish and do anything that you've told us to do, anything you've said, hallelujah, we can walk in it. And I just want to say thank you for it, Lord God. Lord, you'll kindly teach us through the Holy Spirit. You'll kindly instruct us to bring us to the place we need to go. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you because we do. I believe everybody here desires to grow stronger and more in faith. And Lord God, Holy Spirit, I want to thank you. Take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. Lord, Holy Spirit, set before us images of people, Lord God, who have done things to achieve that we can copy after, Lord God, to walk, to head into the places you want us to walk in. Lord, there's different things that you want different ones to walk in. It's not all the same. Hallelujah. But Lord God, put before them the people and Lord God, what they need to hear and what they need to know. Lord God, make them a people who can draw good conclusions concerning the Word of God. Hallelujah. That they don't limit you, Lord God. Lord, we don't want sluggish faith. No, 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 no. We want strong faith and we'll have it in the name of Jesus. It's ours. Hallelujah. Your Word builds strength in us in faith. And Father God, when we can see it, we can do it. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.